Good morning. How are you? I hope you're having an amazing day. Hope everything is going well. You had a great week, all of the above. Let me tell you, fall is here. I'm very excited. The seasons are changing. It's definitely cooler. And it's I think it's one of my most favorite times of the year. Like, summer's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. Lots of flowers. Lovely. But fall, especially this year, has been such a shift. Like, just the thought process of fall up until this point has been fabulous. Because, it's the anticipation of the slow season. And we still have a lot of work to do. We've got greenhouses to reskin and thousands of dahlia tubers to dig and beds to flip and all of the above. But it's a change of pace that we're all very, very looking forward to. So, yes, I'm excited for fall. I'm also excited for today's episode. We're going to be talking about growing lilies in crates and containers and really kind of approaching this from a production standpoint, but also, you know, making sure that we're making smart decisions when it comes to growing lilies in a program setting. So, that's what we're going to be talking about. Today's episode is sponsored by Leo Burby Bulb Company out of Marysville, Ohio. And I get pictures of screenshots from Marjolin all the time of people who are using the code Drew to get free gifts during the checkout process when you purchase from Burby's. So Morgan from North Carolina, thank you for listening and using the code. Another one is Bethany from Illinois. And then there's Sabrine from Pennsylvania. There's just so many. So, Holly from North Carolina. So fun. We really appreciate you listening, you partaking, and you purchasing and supporting Leo Burby Bulb Company, who I'm going to be at Burby's next week for Burby Fest for Bulbs and Blooms. So if you're listening and you're going to be there, be sure to say hi. I always love meeting everybody and saying hey. So I will see you then. Okay. Let's get this show on the road. We've got lots to talk about today, and lilies is the top of the list. So, lilies, growing lilies in like a production setting or in a production plan or program can seem a little intimidating, and it was for me at first because lilies can be a really large investment when it comes to purchasing those pre-cooled bulbs over the course of the season. But there are a lot of benefits to adopting and implementing a cut flower lily program into your production plan as a grower. So when we're focusing on those benefits, two of the things that really come to mind are scheduling and consistency. So when we are talking about scheduling, one of the fabulous things when you're working with a really great supplier, so bulb supplier, is that during the off season, so over the winter when things are a little slower, and you're kind of getting your plan prepped and ready to go for the next season, you are able to basically schedule your entire season's worth of lilies at once. And what that means is, what we'll do is we'll send Marjolin our, you know, list of lilies and when we want them to bloom. So I know that the majority of the lilies that we would be growing would bloom in 80 to 90, 95 days usually. So it's like a 3-month turnaround cycle. So if I needed flowers to a nice focal flower to fill out a bouquet during that kind of like awkward focal season after peonies, where you've used up all your peonies in storage, but you don't quite have dahlias coming in yet, lilies were a fabulous filler for us for that point in the season. So I knew that that's going to hit like in July, and July is month number 7. So if I need lilies blooming for number 7, I'm going to go back to number 4, which is April. So that's when I needed to be receiving those lilies, getting them planted, potted up, and ready to go, because I know that they're going to be ready for July. If you're working with a grocery store who needs consistent numbers every week for the entirety of the season, or you're working with a farmer's market that has consistent demand, and their your clientele for that market loves lilies or likes lilies, then it's a great option, because you're able to, you know, schedule these colors to bloom at different times in the season based on variety selection. So you can do lighter in the spring to hit your spring pastels, transition into summer with more like your pinks and your oranges, and then finish in the fall with, you know, your yellows, your flame tones. Royal Sunset was beautiful. And then your reds and your true oranges as well. So there's lots and lots of benefits to being able to schedule a crop like that. There aren't a lot of crops that we are able to do that with when it comes to the perspective of seasonality. So that's a huge, huge bonus. The other one that really sticks out to my mind, is consistency. Once you really truly grasp and understand, you know, what lilies need, what they are wanting, you're really going to have a strong chance at a very consistent crop for the entirety of the season. You know, the bulbs that you're going to be purchasing in, if you're getting them from a great supplier, are going to be grown at a really great farm, and they're going to be processed in a very consistent manner. So you're going to be getting beautiful bulbs in throughout the entire season. That's going to already put you on, you know, a great foot forward. So with that, then it's up to you to supply that bulb with what it needs. So another fun thing to remember or to think about is that the flower that bulb is going to produce is already developed. The buds and all that other fun stuff is already, you know, it's already there. It's deep down in that bulb, and it's your job to supply the requirements that bulb needs, which is going to be media, moisture, nutrition, sunlight, heat potentially, all that stuff. And then it's going to come to fruition. So if you can keep that in mind, you've already kind of, you know, you've won half the race just by getting that bulb there. You know, it's not like a sunflower or a cosmos seed where it has to, you know, do everything and then, you know, you still might not get anything. But it could just be a little bit of a reassuring thought process or something to keep in your mind to just know that, okay, half the battle's already won. I just need to do my end and we're good. So that's another fun thing with lilies. The second point we're going to talk about is knowing your clientele. And I feel like this is something that we talk about all the time. But it's very, very important. And as you know, the farm and our clientele continues to expand and evolve and change, we really need to know who we're selling to when it comes to our production plan, because not every flower is meant for every person. So we need to, you know, kind of keep that in mind. And that's also going to influence the demand and ultimately the things that we grow. So when we're thinking about florists, I want you to think about, who are you selling to as a florist? Are you selling to someone who already is existing, like using lilies? Or are you targeting someone or selling to someone who you don't see a lot of lilies in their work? And that's a very easy thing to figure out. All you have to do is go to their Facebook page, or better yet, show up in their shop. And you're going to be able to see, like, okay, are there buckets of lilies in the cooler? If so, they're coming from somewhere. And why can't that somewhere be me? Okay. If they're not using lilies in volume, you're probably not going to see buckets of lilies in their cooler. So that might, you know, that's also something to keep in mind. And you can ask the question once you've built your relationship with that florist, like, hey, do you use a lot of lilies? Does your clientele enjoy lilies? If not, what are some things that are turnoffs? You know, do your clients not love the super strong scent? Is it the pollen that kind of gets in the way? Or what, you know, get some feedback, because all of those things, all of those points and factors, you can work around, because there are varieties that don't produce pollen. There are varieties that are unscented. There are varieties that have double layers of flower that look, double layers of petals that look a little more exciting. And if your florist isn't aware of that or doesn't know that, then that could be a really great opportunity for you to do a test, to do a trial, get those stems into their hands, and see what happens, you know? So that's another thing to keep in mind. Also, once you've done that initial research with your florist, think about what kind of colors they're using. One of the flower shops that I worked in, after I graduated high school was a very, very traditional small town flower shop. I learned so much in that store. And we used a ton of lilies, And the woman that owned the shop, fabulous lady, she would pay good money for these lilies. Very, very good money. $3, $4, $5 a stem. And they were just like from the wholesaler, but they were fabulous orientals. They were massive, the double rose lilies. And her clientele loved them. And she was so resourceful, and her designers knew exactly what they were doing. And they would really make those lilies stretch. Everything was usually consistently in a certain color palette. So whites, creams, soft yellows, the double pink rose lilies, double whites. But there weren't a ton of like flame orange or like bright red at all points in the season. Those would come later on. So with that, you know, understanding and that part of the information or knowledge, as a producer, you're able to adjust your crop production plan and schedule for that need and that change in demand. So just like I touched on earlier, focus on, you know, your lighter colors in the spring, if that's what your clientele is used to, and that's what they're existingly using. And then you can go into more color from there. Now, if you are targeting and selling more retail, and you already know what your clientele is expecting and wanting for colors and things like that, then you're going to be able to adjust your production plan a little bit. Now, when it comes to kind of selecting what type of lily you want to grow, there was three main choices or groups, we'll call them, when we were growing a lot of lilies. It was your LAs, so LA hybrid lilies. They're going to be usually more upward facing when it comes to the bloom structure, that neck attachment. And we used a lot of those for bouquet work. So mixed bouquet, straight bunches, things like that. And those are what we were using for farmers market predominantly. And they were, you know, going to be a little bit more colorful. There were still, you know, whites and creams in the LA family, but since we knew that we were selling them direct to retail, we were going for a little bit more color. And the other thing that's visually you have to remember is that lily petals, when they do open in a bouquet, are very large in comparison to the other petals or petal structures that you're working with other local flowers. So visually, you're getting a break in the texture because, you know, peonies are very fluffy and ruffly, and zinnias have lots and lots of little petals, and same goes with dahlias. But lilies, they only have six petals, so, and those petals are very large. So when you have an open lily in a bouquet, you're getting a break visually in a textural perspective. So that was another reason that we used lilies in mixed bouquets a lot. If you're also going more of a retail route, you can get by with, also, let's step back. LAs were one of the more cost-effective options when it came to lilies. So since we were wanting to be as profitable as possible and keep our expenses low, and we knew that we were selling retail, or, you know, and we needed to be competitive in that market setting, that was what we grew for predominant production. We also grew some of your orientals, your OT hybrids, and a few rose lilies here and there. And we kept those more so for florists who were willing to pay for them, but also wedding work. Let's see, custom work. I was trying to find a word here. Custom work. So custom retail. So somebody would call and say, "I need a $100, you know, arrangement, or I need a $300 casket sprayer, or whatever the case would be." And then we would break out those nice big guys and use those when there was money on the table and money in the project to kind of account for that. So when it comes to kind of knowing your clientele, that's going to help you in, you know, selecting which groups, which families of lilies to use, which colors to schedule, all of those things. So that is going to help you a lot. Let's kind of get into the actual act of growing now, because we've been talking for 15 minutes about other stuff. But when we're growing lilies in a production setting or in a production mindset, there's something that is kind of a really big moral hurdle, maybe, I don't know, for some people. And that is that when we grow lilies and we're scheduling them, we're getting new bulbs sent to us like every other week or every week sometimes. So once those flowers, you know, come to fruition and they're mature and you harvest them, you're left with basically a loaf of root material, soil, and other stuff. And we'll get to that at the very end of today's episode. But because you are replanting every single time, you need to have enough infrastructure to be able to facilitate that. And one of the things that was very quickly overlooked in our setting is that we didn't have enough containers to do the consistent rotation that we needed. And in the beginning, we were growing these in bulb crates, and we just didn't have enough crates to go around at all, at all. So we very quickly had to find another container to fit all of these lilies. And when you're working with container-grown lilies, there is an environment that you need to create, okay? And things that you need to look out for. So lilies are a very expensive investment to grow, like I said earlier. And when you're growing them out in the open, a lot of things can go wrong. They can get sunburnt really easily if it gets too hot. They can get wrecked with a windstorm. They would be shredded and demolished. God forbid you get hit with hail or sleet during the summer. So what you, if you're piecing this all together, what you really need to have when it comes to lilies is some sort of covered space. And it does not have to be fancy, I promise you. It can be the most jerry-rigged, red-necked ass hoop house thing you've ever made and you've ever seen in your whole life. But as long as it does the job, baby, that's all you need, okay? It's fine. It does not have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be practical. And that's what we're going for here. So covered space when it comes to lilies, growing high quality lilies for a prolonged period of time is huge. It is huge. You could potentially also need to heat this space if you are trying to get either super early blooms or very late blooms. And sometimes, and this has happened to us quite a bit too, some of the last rotations of lilies are maybe taking a little bit too long, and you need to kind of hustle them up a little bit to really get them in by that last farmer's market, which for us was the last weekend in October. So we would, you know, after the sun went down, we would close up that house, turn the heat on, and kind of keep them moving along, keep them a little bit warmer, so that they would, you know, grow, and we would have those to sell and use in those last bouquets of the market season. So that's huge as well. And the other thing is you have to have you have to have reliable irrigation. If you don't have reliable irrigation and you're growing lilies, you're going to be doing a lot of hand watering, a lot of hand watering. So lilies are a very thirsty crop when you're growing them in containers because they are relying on you or the systems that you have in place to keep them hydrated. So because they're not able to tap into the groundwater, they're not able to pull moisture from the existing surrounding soil because they're in a plastic container. So it can be a little bit of a challenge if you don't have a drip system in place, and you really should be utilizing a drip system for an irrigation system. Overhead watering can really throw you off with dahlias or with lilies if you're getting the entire plant wet. If you are watering these by hand, which many people do, we did it for several seasons. You don't want to get that entire plant wet. You want to take that nozzle of your watering wand, get it down at the soil level, and saturate that soil. You don't want the entire thing wet. You're going to have so many issues with bacterial spots. You're going to have issues with mold and fungus. You're going to have it's too much. So just save yourself the hassle, save yourself the heartache and the pain in the ass, and just get that water down low, and you're going to be better off for it. So I promise you that. And I didn't believe that at first. And like the first year that we grew lilies, we were like overhead watering and it was amazing and beautiful and got a lot of really great pictures of this magical rain shower watering our lilies for us. But really, don't do that, okay? Things go wrong. So from an environmental perspective, we need covered space, super important. Potentially might need some heat in there if you're going for your shoulder seasons, and you need to have reliable irrigation. So that is things to remember. So let's move on. Planting. Okay. I mentioned previously that when we first started with lilies, we were doing these in bulb crates. If you're not familiar with a bulb crate or what that is, bulb crates are the black container. They're made of plastic. And sometimes they're green or brown, maybe blue, but it's a transport container that is used in the commercial industry trade to deliver bulbs from one place to another. And anything can come in bulb crates. It could be tulips. It could be lilies, daffodils, blah, 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 blah. All the fabulous things can come in bulb crates. And you might be asking yourself, how do I get bulb crates? Well, buy bulbs. There you go. Buy your bulbs from a place that you can get bulb crates from, or find a distributor who might be close-ish to you where you can go and buy bulb crates from. Many, many bulb importers and bulb distributors and warehouses do have lots of bulb crates because when shipping containers come over from Holland or come up from South America, wherever they're being sourced from, these bulbs are coming in crates stacked on pallets. So when companies are getting those in, and if they're selling them in smaller quantities or broken quantities, they're going to be repackaging these bulbs into smaller bags or smaller retail boxes or whatever the case is. So when that's happening, they have extra crates and they will sell them to you. And you might have to drive a ways to get these bulb crates, okay? The longest we've driven for a bulb crate run was, I think, 8 or 9 hours to Burbies. And it's just, it is what it is. You make a weekend of it, you go load up, and then you go back to the farm, and now you've got all these crates. So back on track. Bulb crates, fabulous. Love them. When you plant in bulb crates, some people might say, oh, you have to have a liner in your bulb crate, otherwise your dirt's going to fall out. Whatever. If you're using a coarser grind media, which it would be basically anything other than germination mix, that fiber, that soil fiber, is going to be large enough that it will bind up and it will build a mat in that bulb crate, and all of your soil isn't going to fall out, okay? You're going to be fine. Will you have a little bit spill out along the edges and probably on the bottom? Yeah, but it's not the end of the world, okay? If you want to take the extra 5 minutes and put a liner in, be my guest, okay? But when it comes to efficiencies, it's not the end of the world. You're going to be fine. Now, I said earlier that we did not have enough crates in the beginning to do what I thought we were going to do, and I already had all of my lilies reserved for me, so it's not like I could just like call her and be like, hey, you need to cancel these. So the next best thing was a giant pot. So I don't even remember how I did it, but I ended up with like 500 3-gallon pots, okay? And these are like a pretty decent size nursery pot. They've got kind of like a handle on either end of the, or either side of the mouth of the pot. They're nice and deep, and we were just like, shit, we got to do something with all these lilies. So that's what we used to plant lilies for years. And we realized that because it's a relatively solid pot, it's got, you know, 4 or 5 drainage holes in the bottom. They're not using as much water as we were with bulb crates, because with bulb crates without liners, and even if you did use a paper liner, it's still going to do the same thing. But that bulb crate is basically plastic mesh, and it's not going to do any favors for you when it comes to retaining moisture. Whereas with these pots, the sides are solid plastic. So that's going to hold more moisture in for you. So you're not going to have to water them as much. And once we realized that, it was like, wow, okay, this is cool. Because, you know, we've got a zillion other things going on. So if you can water one less thing, you know, every single day and stretch that out for a little bit longer, it's going to save you time. It's going to be just easier process for you. So I'm a huge, huge proponent of planting in large pots when it comes to lilies. And you could do a 3-gallon pot, you could do a 5-gallon pot, hell, you could even do a 10-gallon pot. You could do whatever. And they're readily available. Any nursery supply company is going to have these available for you. You can order them from Nolts. You can probably find your closest landscape shrub grower, and they'll probably sell them to you because they buy them by the truckload. So growing in pots was, you know, something that kind of changed a lot for us. They're a little bit smaller. Actually, they are a lot smaller than a bulb crate. They're easier to handle. You can stack them up. You can carry them in 3 or 4 at a time. When you're, you know, bringing in the planted pots into your greenhouse, put them on the ground, water them, grow them out, harvest your lilies. And then once you've got, you know, all those lilies harvested, you do the same thing. Stack them 3 or 4 high, pick them up, carry them out, dump them, boom, easy to go. Easy to go. Easy. So, you can plant either in pots or crates. And then a couple of the things that you got to think about. I'm going to break my list here that I've got prepped. One of the things that you need to remember is, soil depth. Okay. What we always did with lilies is we would do 2 to 3 inches of soil in the bottom of the pot. We would put our lilies in, and then we would cover that with about the same, 3 to 4, maybe a little bit more, 3 to 4 inches. So you've got, once it's watered in and that soil is kind of settled, hopefully, you've got about 6 inches of total soil in that pot, okay? And one thing that we learned is that lily bulbs don't love to be super hot, okay? They're not going to be super duper happy there. So it is a good idea to use a little bit more media than the nut. Don't get skimpy here, because you've paid good money to get these beautiful bulbs. So now it's your job to kind of, you know, do your thing. And making sure that there's enough media, which is also going to supply you with more moisture retention, is important. And when it comes to media for lilies, don't think that you have to use, you know, the top quality, the finest grind. You know, you can get by with using a little bit more of a conventional commercial mix of just standard potting soil. Potting mix is totally fine. If you are using a compost, I am going to not necessarily caution you, but encourage you to remember where you're getting your compost from. Make sure that you have some experience with that source and that supplier. Make sure that it looks good. You don't want to see a lot of unidentifiable insects or maybe fungal presence in that compost. Bacterial life and bio life in your compost in your soil is great, but just make sure that, you know, it looks good, it looks healthy, and you have experience with it. Because I don't want you to fuck up, you know, $1,000 worth of bulbs just because, you know, the compost was cheap. So have some experience with that or in that regard. When it comes to fertilizing or feeding, during the, let's take a step back. We don't even have the bulbs in the pot yet because we don't know how far apart to plant them. When it came to pots, we would put 7 to 8, maybe 9 if they were small, pots per bulb. If we got more than that, it was just too much plant material in that pot. You have to remember, too, that lilies are different than tulips. So, and what that means is that when we plant tulips for production, we can plant them very, very close together, almost touching. And the reason that is because when tulips grow, it's a relatively small volume of plant material that is being produced, whereas lilies is a different story. Lilies are still growing on one main stalk, But there's leaves, lots of leaves that are coming off of that stalk. And then at the top of that stalk, you have to have your enough space for your flower head to produce. And each head is going to have multiple blooms. So you need to be able to facilitate space for that. So we never really went more than 8 bulbs in each pot. I like to leave, 2-3 inches on either side of the bulbs so that you've got plenty of space. But still keeping in mind efficiencies because you don't want to be wasting space. And then when we were growing in crates, I want to say we were doing like 18 to 24 bulbs per pot. I could be off on that. So if you are doing bulbs in crates, measure it out. Do a couple tests. See what works best for you. Because you have to also keep in mind the more bulbs that you have in each crate, the more water that it's going to be using. Okay. We did have experience with this too. If you get your bulbs too close and those plants just aren't healthy, they're competing for too much space, you will notice that there will be buds that abort and there will be plants that completely abort the bud production process. And that sucks, because especially if you're like counting on those plants to meet stem counts. So that's another thing that we learned over time is don't get greedy when it comes to space with lilies. Give them a little more than you think, and you'll be better off for it. You'll have a better experience. So don't get too greedy when it comes to planting them. Okay. For nutrition, if you are using a media that might have a compost base to it or might already have a nutritional charge, like a fertilizer charge in that soil when you get it, there's a good chance that you're not going to have to feed these plants very much. If you do plant, I want you to make sure that you're not supplying too much or very much nitrogen once you see buds set. Nitrogen is not a necessary nutritional element for bud maturity. Nitrogen is great for leaf and foliar production. So, once your lilies have set buds, do not add more nitrogen. Please don't do it. Jax fertilizer, I'm pretty sure it's Jax, does make a Easter lily fertilizer because the Easter lily industry is massive, okay? And they're lilies and they're growing lilies just like we are. So you can use that fertilizer for your cuts. It's a great option. It's pre-mixed, it's ready to go. You could probably find it on Amazon, honestly. And you could use that very, very easily. So once you've got your containers planted, you can nestle your containers in Buddy Buddy in your greenhouse or your structure. Maybe leave like an inch or two in between each pot or crate just for, a little bit extra airflow, a little shoulder space, and you are off and running to the races. So I need to get a quick drink. It's cold in my office too, so I'm going to turn my fan off. Leo Burby has a message for us because they are today's sponsor, and I will see you all in a second and we'll get this sucker wrapped up. I think this is so timely because Leo Burby Bulb Co. is such a key component to our farm. Like, straight up. Leo Burby Bulb Co. is your one-stop shop for all things bulbs, bare roots, perennials, etc. They're family owned and operated for over 50 years. Leo Burby Bulb strives on providing exceptional customer service. Truly, I agree. And while Leo Burby specializes in bulbs for spring and fall planting, they also have an incredible young plants division that can broker plants and plugs from over 30 different growers. So whether you order online or you call into the office and phone in your order, the process is very simple and straightforward. There's no order that's too large or too small, and there's no boxing minimums on orders either. They're family-owned and operated. I love them to death, and the customer service is honestly the best. So be sure to use the code Drew when you place your order online, and you'll get a free gift. So super simple. You're ordering at the very end. You can put like a promo code or in the notes section. Just use the code Drew and say that you heard about Leo Burby Bulb Co. on our podcast, and Marjolyn will make sure you get a little gift. So there you go. Thanks, Leo Burby. Love ya. Okay. So Leo Burby, thank you so much. Beautiful lily bulbs from Burby's, and just love them all. Love them all to death. Okay. Lilies, back on track. You've got your pots and your crates placed. You're watering, maintaining good but not wet soil, because water, soil that's just saturated for days and days and days is not really good for anything. And you're just going to have problems. You're going to see bulbs starting to rot, maybe. Root rot will happen. So you want moist but not wet, not saturated soil. So keep that in mind. Also, make sure that you're watering at the soil level, not getting the entire plant wet, and you'll be doing really well. It is very, very exciting also when you do see those first buds start to set, and you will notice that it'll take a while for that lily crown to really come to full fruition. And harvesting can be a little intimidating at first because with lilies, you might be a little afraid for a couple things. You might think, oh God, if I harvest this too early, these are never going to come into color and my client isn't going to have a good experience. Okay, well, that's one thought process. Number two, if I harvest these too late, they're going to shatter on their way to market and they're going to open too fast and I'm going to lose, all this money. Okay, well, here's a few things. When lilies are, let's say, grown in South America on large production farms, or even when we were growing lots of lilies, we weren't really too concerned about having all of the buds on that bloom spike be in color when we harvested. And here's why. We want to harvest lilies when they're still closed. And when it comes to, well, that's for your single petal types. So LAs, OT hybrids. And the reason that is because in order for that lily flower to open, it needs water, basically. And water is what you will have in your bucket. It's what you're going to have in your vase when your client gets this home. It's what the florist is going to have in their bucket. So when you see flushing or blushing happening on those lily buds, so the bottom bud, bottom two buds, maybe bottom three buds, you need to harvest that stem, okay? Because if you wait much longer, that bottom flower is going to bust open. And this is a line from Bailey from Ardelia Farm, and Farmer Bailey plugs, there is nothing sadder than a five-petaled lily, okay? And once you see that, you will know what I'm talking about. Don't be afraid of harvesting it too early as long as you see that color starting to flush through. And you will see it too if you don't believe me. If you're growing a pink variety, you will see that coloration start to occur on the outside of that closed bud. And that is the plant telling you, like, okay, getting kind of close here, gonna be busting open in the next few days. So cut that lily, get it cold, get it stored in a cooler, and you're good to go. Now, if you do miss harvest and that bottom flower does bust open, you aren't out, okay? Cut that stem, and if that open flower is going to be a problem, cut it off. Just follow that petals or that flower stem back to the main stem, cut it off right there, boom, good to go. You're fine, okay? You can still work it into a bouquet. You can still sell it to a florist. You're going to be fine because there's going to be more buds that will open, and you're good to go. Not a problem. No worries. No concerns. Okay. Harvesting really should be a very fast, very efficient process. And also don't feel like you need to harvest the entire lily crop from that one planting at once. I'd probably encourage you to not do that. Don't do clean cut harvesting because not every lily bulb and flower and stem is going to be mature and ready at the same time. So it might take you 3, 4, maybe 5 days to get through an entire planting of lilies before they're completed. So don't feel like you need to cut them all at the same time. Be patient, let them do the thing, and you and your clients are going to have a better experience because of that. So there's your other thing for you. When it comes to storing lilies, you are able to store lilies for a very long time in a cold cooler. We would store for a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, especially if we knew that we were selling these in like market bouquets, where the expectation is a little bit different than if we were selling these to a florist, because florists will sit on lilies for a very long time too, because they know and they expect that longevity and that storage life. So again, going back to who your clientele is and knowing your clientele, keep that in mind as well. When it comes to storing lilies, colder is better, honestly. Get them as cold as you can. You are able to dry store lilies if you need to. So dry storing would be where you would take a shipping flower box, flower shipping box, which is going to be longer, maybe a little flatter. Fill it full of bunched lilies, and then close that box up. So they're going to have a higher humidity retention within that cardboard box. And then you can stack those floor to ceiling, and you can store them for a while in there. Is it as, how do I want to say this? If you just need to store them for a short amount of time, so let's say that you have a flush coming in, you have to get them harvested, you have to get them, you know, in cold storage, but you've already got a cooler packed full of things that can't be dry stored, and you only need to store these for a few days, and then you're going to be able to move them out, you'll get them into a market setting, and you'll be fine. So a situation like that, no problem. Not a problem at all. If you needed to store these for 2 weeks, then dry storage might be a little bit of a stretch for that entire time. If you're good at dry storing and you have experience and you've done it before, then I would say go for it. You probably be fine. Just as long as you understand that you're going to have leaves that will die in that process, because that plant, that stem, is using that moisture to keep itself alive. So you'll have to remove those, which will be a little bit of an extra step. But if you just need a few days, not a problem. You're all good. Get them cold and you'll be fine. Let's see. Selling lilies to florists, 10-stem bunches. Selling lilies in single bunches to customers, retail customers at market. That can be different. So I've seen people who will sell lily bunches by the flower count. So if you've got a stem with okay. So let's say you're selling lilies in 10 flower bunches. So it would be, you know, one stem with four buds, one stem with three buds, and another stem with three buds. That would be a 10 flower bunch, but it's really only three stems. So you can get a little creative and crafty there too. Same thing goes with selling to grocery stores. You know, it's very, grocery stores do like to know, and they like to know what to expect and what to market. So if you can get lilies into a grocery store production plan, you can easily sell lilies as, you know, a 10 flower per bunch program. But really, you know, and they will find out eventually, and they'll probably be fine with it because they usually don't care, as long as the product is beautiful, that you're achieving this with, you know, maybe three, four stems, but it's the flower that is making the difference. It's the flower that's being counted. So there's fine. That's fine as well. Also, using lilies in mixed bouquets, depending on the size of the mixed bouquet and who it's for, will also depend on how many stems you need. And also kind of what part of the season you're into. So if you are doing like a smaller or a medium-sized mixed bouquet, you might only need one stem of LA lily in each bouquet. But if you're doing something larger, more grand, going for a fuller show at farmer's market, you might need maybe three or four stems of lily to kind of incorporate and work throughout. Also, your customers will greatly appreciate the longevity that good quality lilies with closed buds offer and provide, and they will pick up on that very quickly. And the reason I say that is because when we were doing farmers markets, one of the things that kind of caught people off guard at first, and they came to appreciate it, is that we had lilies for the entire length of the growing season, and there was really no one else at market that did that. Were there other people that had lilies? Yes, but they were planted as perennials. So they were planted in landscaping or in perennial beds, and they would all bloom at the exact same time. because they'd be field grown. So all of their lilies would come into flush, and there would be like a 2-week window at farmers market where the only flower, the only main focal flower that a lot of other growers would have was just lilies. And they would be either harvested too late and they would be, you know, in full show, fully blown open, dropping petals as people were leaving farmers market, or there would be nothing else in the mix, and they would be dirt cheap. You could buy a bouquet, huge bouquet of lilies, probably 20 stems for like $5, $10. And when that would happen, I would just be like, shit, like, not going to sell any bouquets this week. And then, you know, you would have a slow week at the beginning of lily season, and then people would realize that, like, oh my God, like, these did not last at all. And that was like a waste of my money. So it was an easier sell for them to then come back to us and spend, you know, $20, $30 for a bouquet, because they knew that it was going to last them that full week. It probably lasted them longer than that full week, actually, as long as they were taking care of it and doing the things that we had on the bouquet care card, which is very straightforward and very simple. And people, it always cracks us up. Always cracks us up when people on social media are like, can you tell us what's on your bouquet care card? Well, mama, listen, okay? What do you tell your clients when it comes to how to take care of a bouquet? Put it in a clean vase, recut the stems, clean water, keep it out of direct sunlight. Boom, done, okay? These are not new processes. There's no voodoo. There's no witchcraft. There's no fancy sauce that we have written on this note card. These are simple foundation fundamentals. And that's just what is on that care card. It's very straightforward. So you can make that on your own too, I promise you. But getting back to something I touched on earlier, is what you're going to need to do with all of your old loaves. And we would call, after we would harvest all the lilies off of a pot, we would call that soil block a loaf, basically. Because it's when it flops out of that pot, it looks like a loaf of bread. So when we would dump our loaves, we would either dump them into like a wooded landscape area where they could just perennialize over the years, and they will come back. They will come back. I promise you. They'll probably look a little shitty the first year because there's no energy, there's no chlorophyll for that bud to use to produce more roots. So that following year is just going to be greens. But the year after that, they will have flowers. So with that in mind, you will have a huge, if you do let them perennialize, you will have a huge flush of lilies in about 2, maybe 3 years. Because of that, you will have an excess for that like 2-week window. But then after that, you aren't really going to have a whole lot. So is that, you know, dumping of the loaf and perennializing it something that I would rely on? Probably not. But it is something that you could, you know, use as a little bit of extra sauce. So after they've perennialized and you see the buds starting to come into color, you could harvest them all and you could send them out, you know, as favors or thank yous for a great spring season to your florists. You could, you know, bulk out your bouquets for a week at farmers market as like a customer appreciation. You could, you know, do little things like that because it's extra. You might not be planning on it. You might not be relying on it, but you can still pass it on to your clients because it's little things like that that they will appreciate and remember. So there you go. All right, kids, this has been about 50 minutes. I need to bounce. We've got a lot going on today. Thank you, Leo Burby, for sponsoring today's episode about lilies. Get a hold of the fabulous crew at Leo Burby. They can help you with all of your bulb, bare root, young plants, all of that stuff. I hopefully will see you next week for Leo Burby Burby Fest, or Bulbs and Blooms, which is happening on the 28th, next Wednesday. So I will see you all there, and I will also see you back here next week for episode 52, woohoo, on how to survive wedding season, because if you're in the wedding industry, you know how it goes. So, and if you're not, next week we're going to have some fun discussions. So have a great weekend. Have a fabulous day. Thank you for being here. as always, follow us on social media. Send me an email if you have questions. Check us out on our website. Fall launch, October 1st, 6 p.m. Central. Spring shipped dahlia tubers, spring shipped rooted dahlia cuttings, spring shipped centidranium cuttings, spring shipped heirloom chrysanthemum cuttings. All that's available October 1st, 6 p.m. Central Time, clarajoyceflowers.com. Love ya. See you next week. Have a fabulous life. Don't die and stay fabulous. Goodbye.